This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, alongside, as always, Mary Lucas, representing Transitions Life Care. Mary, how's it going today?
It's going. You know, my blueberries are fried. I have fried blueberry bushes.
This is vegetation, not an old cell phone device from the 90s, correct?
Correct, okay. Correct.
Just making sure.
I forgot about blackberries. That's a throwback.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the blueberries. I was really looking forward to, maybe making a bramble.
How much fertilizer can I put on them to bring them back in 100-degree weather is the question.
It'll be an adventure in gardening this summer for you. But boy, yeah, it's been dry and hot. But we've got a wonderful show lined up today. We are very pleased to welcome on to the show Edie Hartley. Edie is owner of Guiding Seniors, and she is a senior living placement specialist, and that's what we're going to be talking about, placement. Edie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I feel like we are getting questions about placement all the time now. I think that this is just something, Edie, and maybe you can echo that. I feel like everyone is asking about, well, what is independent living, assisted living, skilled facilities? Where do I go? What's the difference? I feel like this is just coming up all the time in our world.
Absolutely. I get that every day. I work with a lot of families, and I'd say that's the number one question, is they really don't know where mm-hmm. to start or what questions to even ask to get started. And senior living options are definitely a changing landscape. Okay. So hopefully I'll bring some light to that today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, before we dive into everything, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in your role?
Absolutely. So I am actually a lifetime resident of Wake County, and I've spent over 10 years working in senior living communities. And so what I do is I'll have hospitals or rehabs, that referral partners I call them, that'll call me and ask me to help a family who is no longer able to stay at home, and I'll help them navigate the landscape of independent living, assisted living, and memory care options at no cost to the family.
That's awesome. Well, let's dive right in here then. Can you provide a brief overview? We'll get into each one individually on its own as well, but a brief overview to start us off with the different types of senior living options available today.
Absolutely. So there is independent living, then there is assisted living, and then we have skilled care / nursing home. And the other thing that has come up not too long ago is something in between independent living and assisted living, and that's called independent living with services.
Fancy. That's great to be able to offer that, because I know that a lot of the times the question is, when do you bounce from one to the next, and what is the right time to make that move? But Edie, talk to us a little bit about the primary differences between the skilled nursing facilities, assisted living, and independent living communities.
Absolutely. So independent living is somebody who is pretty much able to maintain what we call in the industry activities of daily living, meaning they're able to do their own medications, they're able to do their own grooming and such, and they're really just kind of looking for more socialization, to be in a group setting where they have programs and activities. And then assisted living is somebody who needs some help with those things. So they might need somebody to help them with, say, a shower for the day or something like that. They definitely would need help with med management. And then what we refer to as a SNF or a skilled nursing home is somebody who is total care, or they may be just discharged from the hospital hospital and requiring some therapy like occupational speech or physical therapy. So those would be the main differences. And there is also a category that covers all of those, and that's called a continuing care retirement community. Mm. So you could move in there as an independent living resident and go all the way up to skilled care if that becomes a requirement.
That is very handy. So starting at independent living and kind of building up, because I feel like these are going in kind of an order of the level of needs here, independent, assisted, and skilled. So starting with independent living, what are some of the key features of an independent living community, and who's kind of the ideal candidate for an independent living?
So independent living would be ideal for someone who just wants to be around other people mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Maybe they're feeling isolated at home. They really are able to maintain doing the, like I said, the activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. And maybe they need transportation to a doctor's appointment, or maybe they just need to be able to be around other people.
That is very helpful. When my grandfather was in independent living for quite some time, and he loved it. He sat down at the bar. He loved sitting Tuesdays at the bar. He had, and he was never a drinker ever in his life. Never. I never saw him drink a drink. And then he moved into independent living, and all of a sudden he had one beer on Tuesdays with his buddies at the bar, and they had a little pub, and he said his he felt like his organs never worked better after that beer.
So it was like a happy hour.
It was, which he loved it. And, you know, that's something after he moved in when my grandmother was still alive. And so they kind of stuck to themselves at first. And then when she passed, it was so lovely for him to be surrounded by people and not isolated by himself and be able to have close neighbors. It was kind of like an apartment almost. But it was nice for him to be able to get out of his room and see people and mm-hmm. have people around him.
The support, I think, is really important because they're around people of similar age, similar circumstances, and they're really a good support for one another.
Absolutely. What kind of amenities and services? I know my grandfather even had a pool. They had like an indoor pool. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
What are some of the amenities?
Well, each one's a little different, yeah. But they're all pretty spectacular. So it's really about what you'd like to have in an independent living. Some, like you say, do have pools. Other ones, you know, will have workout rooms. They have pool tables. I mean, anything that you could think that you would want to do. It's kind of like a cruise ship without water. It's really neat. But anything you could imagine that you'd want to do, they definitely would have that in independent living. So, you know, they go on rides, they go to the theater, they go, you know, to shows, those kind of things. So, and you could sign up for different things. And if there's something that's not on their list and you want to go do it, you just sign up for it and they'll make it happen.
I love the analogy there with the cruise ship. That's perfect. before we head to break, I want to kind of start moving in the assisted living direction. What is a common thing or condition, a sign that might indicate someone is ready to move up to assisted living from independent living?
So assisted living would be more suited for someone who maybe needs assistance with dressing, managing the medications, bathing, those kind of things. And there's a couple of differentiators in assisted living. So when you're looking for that, you need to really understand the care levels. Does the person need one person to help them, two people? Are they in need of, say, a Hoyer lift? Those kind of things. So those are some more in-depth questions when you're looking for assisted living. Who can meet the needs of that individual?
We are speaking with Edie Hartley. Edie is owner of Guiding Seniors, and she is a senior living placement specialist. And we are talking about all things related to placement and levels of care. We're going to continue our conversation with Edie right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being with us. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest today is Edie Hartley. Edie is owner of Guiding Seniors, and she is a senior living placement specialist. And that's what we're talking about today, placement and levels of care. Mary, we spent the first segment really going over what independent living is. And, you know, by the sound of it, I feel like I'm a candidate right now for independent
Let's
living.
Move on to the cruise ship.
And we've just kind of broached how independent living differs from assisted living. So I guess we should pick back up right there.
Absolutely. So Edie, tell us a little bit more about some of the different services that are available in assisted living that differ from independent living.
Sure. So assisted living provides 24/7 care. So you will have CNAs, nursing assistants, med techs on site 24/7 to assist those residents. Whereas independent living, you're pretty much on your own. There's not that support team there overnight like it would be for assisted living.
I want to circle back as we talk about this. You mentioned earlier in the show, independent living plus services. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and how that could bridge someone instead of moving into an assisted living, how that could help a resident?
Absolutely. So several years ago, the state recognized that we were going to be short on assisted living facilities. Mm. And so they implemented what they call independent living with added services. So essentially what that means is there are some independent, not all communities, that will offer added services where you can schedule care. Mm-hmm. So for someone who may just need standby assist for a shower, they could schedule a 30-minute increment for that, and that may be all that they need for the day. Some independent residents may require, say, a drive-by, so you can make sure that they're taking their medicines when they're supposed to be. But you can schedule, you know, as little as 15-minute increments, or you could, you know, schedule 24/7 care for your loved one in independent living with added services. And the nice thing about that type of independent living is that if you have a long-term care policy, it will help pay for that community, whereas independent living communities without the added services is strictly private pay.
Ooh, that's good to know. So then we move up one more step. Skilled nursing facility, what, or SNF? In our world, we call them SNFs, but no, if you ever hear SNF, I feel like that's someone who's in the industry and who's talking fast.
Absolutely.
What distinguishes a skilled nursing facility from other senior living options?
Sure. So a skilled nursing facility takes on two meanings. One would be if someone is discharging from the hospital and they've been there for a minimum of 3 nights, they could be discharged to a skilled nursing facility to receive additional occupational speech or physical therapy, all paid for by Medicare. If that is the case, then your Medicare will cover the first 20 to 21 days, and they'll continue to monitor your progress to see if you're ready for discharge. And the other scenario would be if somebody does truly require total care, maybe they're bedbound, they might have a feeding tube or a tracheotomy, and those people would be long-term care in a skilled nursing facility.
That's good to know. I feel like a lot of the times that question comes up in the hospital, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about, you know, coming from the hospital, I'm going to the SNF skilled nursing facility. How long can I be there? And I feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of people, you know, when you're in the hospital, you're getting a lot of information. I mean, it's just overload. You're stressed. Your caregivers are probably stressed. It's just a lot. And so not always is everything heard. And then you get to the skilled facility for your rehab after a hospitalization. And then you hit that last day and they're like, okay, time for you to go somewhere.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people get stuck in that place.
Right. They absolutely do. And they become panicked because, again, they don't know where to start, where to go, what questions to ask. I have seen, and typically the skilled nursing facilities are required to give at least a 48-hour notice of discharge. So sometimes that may be all the family gets, and then they're panicked to find a place for the loved one who can't return home, and that's where we come in and scoop up and help navigate that landscape for them. But, yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to discharge to go home, but sometimes they're not able to do that.
That's a hard place to be in. The stress of that, and I can't imagine only having 48 hours to do the research that you need to do. And I love that that's where you guys can step in and help. For those who have started planning ahead of time or who are thinking, you know, or listening here and are in this situation, how can someone effectively assess the quality and care of all these different facilities? Is there a way you can do research? How would someone go about that?
So what I always tell my families that I work with is it's important to not wait for a life crisis to happen. Okay. Do your research, do your homework, be proactive. If you feel that your loved one is going down this path, don't wait for something to happen like a fall or anything like that before you start doing your research. So I have families that say, you know what, Edie, let's go ahead and go start looking at places because this is what I'm seeing at home. And, you know, that might not be the care need when the time comes, but this is what we're seeing right now. And so we'll go and look at places and they'll get a good feel. Once they walk in, what the vibe is, you know, is this somewhere I can see my loved one living and those kind of things. So I would say don't wait until the life crisis happens.
That is really great advice. What factors do you also work with your families, caregivers, and what should they consider when deciding between independent living, assisted living, or a skilled facility for their loved ones?
Well, another thing that I get a lot is them wanting to know how they're going to pay for it. What options are there out there? So that comes up a lot. So we talk about that long term because it's important that hopefully your loved one doesn't have to move more than once. So are we looking at somebody who maybe have limited resources and potentially looking for a spend down situation, because there are communities that will allow that for somebody to stay in place and then convert to Medicaid. Do they have the private pay to pay for it long term? Or maybe they were a veteran and they can qualify for aid and attendance through the Veteran Administration. So all of these are things that we talk about so we know going into this what we need to look for down the road.
That's good advice. My grandfather did benefit from the aid and attendance program. And quickly before we go to break, could you give a brief rundown of what that means for our listeners?
Absolutely. So the Veteran Administration offers its veterans aid and attendance is what they call it. And so what that means is, and there's certain criteria, one of them being you had to have served one day in active war. You have to have an income threshold to be able to qualify for that. And I will say that the process to get approved for that could take up to 6 months. But it is retroactive. So if somebody qualifies for it, they would pay all the way back to the first day when you applied for the aid and attendance. And I obviously, you know, being from this area and working in the industry for so long, I have resources that I could put people in touch with that are much more experienced with aid and attendance and do it on a daily basis. So you know, definitely feel free to reach out, and I'm happy to share those resources.
We are speaking with Edie Hartley. Edie is owner of Guiding Seniors, and she is a senior living placement specialist, and we're getting some really great information in our discussion with her. We're going to continue that discussion after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. So many resources available for you there. Information about volunteer opportunities as well. transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are speaking with Edie Hartley. Edie is owner of Guiding Seniors, and she is a senior living placement specialist. And that is the topic of today's show. We're talking all about placement, levels of care, the differences between the different levels, and we've covered a lot of ground, Mary. I've learned about SNFs today. I feel very educated. I've learned about assisted living, independent living with additional services. So while we've got Edie here for a little bit more time, where should we focus on next?
You know, maybe we dive in first into the cost of these things. I was going to go somewhere else, and I was just thinking, you know what? We haven't talked about cost. And I'm sure a lot of people out there are like, how much is this going to cost me? And we were also just talking about the aid in attendance, which means there's also programs out there. You mentioned earlier in the show, insurance options to help cover some of the costs. Can you talk to us a little bit about the difference in cost and what kind of programs or insurance options are available to cover the cost of these different types of senior living?
Absolutely, and that's a question I get a lot. Will my insurance cover the cost of this? And the answer to that is, if you have a long-term care policy, then it would cover some of the expenses for assisted living or even independent living with added services. If you're living in an independent living community without those added services, it would be a private pay. And then there are also options of Medicaid, if somebody qualifies for that. I think it's important for them to know that there are income cutoffs, that you cannot make more than, I think it's a little over $1,200 for assisted living to receive Medicaid assistance for assisted living. And if you require memory care, it's just over $1,500 a month. So if you exceed that monthly income, then you would not qualify for Medicaid. And they also look for less than $2,000 in assets.
Wow. I mean, you got to start planning for some of these things now, long before retirement, right?
Exactly. I always tell families, too, if you do have resources when you move into one of these communities, when you feel that you are 6 months outside of exhausting those resources, go ahead and make that call to the Medicaid office and start that process then. Don't wait till the last minute because you'll find yourself in a difficult situation.
That's really good advice. What advice, you know, one of the big things for my grandfather and grandmother, they wanted to stay in their house as long as they possibly could. And they did not want to leave. My grandmother especially did not want to leave, but she was mostly blind, and they had this heat furnace thing in the basement. I don't even know what these things are called anymore. This is aging me. But I remember my grandfather trying to walk up and down these rickety steps to the basement, which is not really a basement. It was like a garage with an unfinished half on it, to put wood in the fire to heat the house. And at one point, my dad was like, you have to move. Like, this is, we can't do this anymore. You are going to fall. And sure enough, he fell. He hit his head, and he ended up having a brain aneurysm and landed in the hospital and almost died. I think we had to stop it, and we're glad he made it much longer past that. But it's really hard for people in this situation. You feel like you're losing your independence, or there's a lot, you don't want to leave home. What advice do you have for people, seniors moving from their home, and also caregivers, because it was really hard for my dad and his brothers to have those conversations as well?
Absolutely. Great question. And I think you said it perfectly, is they don't want to give up their independence. And I think it's important for us to stress to them that we're not asking you to give up your independence. Mm-hmm. We just want to put you in an environment that is safe and that you'll be well taken care of. And you can maintain your independence as long as possible. We want to encourage that. For those who are looking for memory care, I've had families come to me and say, well, you know, I'd really like for mom or dad to say, yes, they like this place, or no, they don't. When the reality is that this is something that I feel you really shouldn't put them through, going around looking at different communities. I feel like it becomes a stressor for them in the moment, and then they forget about it, you know, 10 minutes later. But it makes the children feel better that they actually had their parents' involvement. I think it's better for the children to go and tour the places and then make a decision, kind of narrow it down. And then, of course, you know, once you make a decision on the type of community, those communities are going to want to assess to make sure that they can meet the needs of the individual.
It's really helpful. So, you know, you've told someone they move. I remember this very clearly. And then there's all the emotional and psychological concerns of people who are resistant to move. I mean, my grandmother was just digging her heels in. They had already made the decision. It was time to move, and boy, she didn't want to help pack. It was pulling teeth, and so it kind of became a forced situation. But how do you help families? How can you help address some of those concerns? And then when she did move, and when they did move, for the first few months, she was very resistant to want to do anything in the community, in the independent living community. She was very resistant to leave the room. She was just not willing to kind of move on. How do you help, or what can you tell people about how to address that?
Make the transition as smooth as possible for them. Don't ask them to pack up their own belongings. Be there to help them do that. Help them to move. And what I always tell families also is that it's a lot nicer for your loved one to, if they're moving into a community, to come into their apartment that already has their belongings and things that they're familiar with. It eases the transition and puts them at peace immediately. And then I also will say, you know, it takes a couple of weeks for them to get used to their new way of living. And it's also nice too, because if they do put the things into the community, into their apartment, prior to actually moving in, then they may say to their loved one, hey, you know, I forgot that dining table. I really like to have that here. Can you bring that over? So it makes it nice to do that also. But just surround them with the things that are near and dear to them, because that's what's important.
Absolutely. We did have a mishap there. We took one of those random things that we thought, you know, when grandma didn't want to participate and help moving, some of those things went to Goodwill, and she asked for one random thing. It was like something very silly. And everyone looked at each other, and I was like, oh, man, that went to Goodwill. That thing is exactly long gone. You should have participated.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the common misconceptions about senior living options that you frequently encounter? I know that there's a lot of them out there.
Oh, gosh. Who offers what? I think if families are calling around, they need to find out. One of the first questions that I would ask if it was my parent is, what level of care do you offer? If I know that my mom requires two people to assist her, then I'm already going to scratch off the communities that offer one person assist. If you know that you are have limited resources, there's no point in even looking at communities that are straight in private pay, because at the end of that, when you exhaust your resources and you're unable to pay, they're going to ask you to move. And that's a difficult situation also. So I would say, you know ahead of time who offers what and plan accordingly.
That's great advice. And Edie, if folks want to enlist your services and learn more about guiding seniors, how would they do that?
Absolutely. So they could reach me. My number is 984-400-4465. Or they could email me at guidingseniorsnc@gmail.com.
Perfect. Again, that email address, guidingseniorsnc@gmail.com. Phone number, 984-400-4465, to reach Nina Hartley, owner of Guiding Seniors and a senior living placement specialist. Edie, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure. We're going to continue more with Aging Matters right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Hey, don't forget, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. It's a great resource for you or anyone that you may know of who's on a caregiving journey. Head on over to transitionslifecare.org. Well, Mary, we've covered a lot of ground today. Now I think it's a logical segue to get full into dating.
Yes. I'm not going to lie. I have been online dating before in my past. I'm pretty sure at this point in life, there's a lot of people that are with me. So maybe that's not a scary thing to say anymore. We're on the theme here and we're close to Valentine's Day. So I figured let's talk about online dating. I'm sure you know, Jason, somebody who's been online dating before. There's a lot of horror stories.
There's a lot of horror stories. But, I also, maybe it's just a small subset of my friend group, but some like wild success stories where it's like, hey, first match and boom, you know. A few years later, we're married. It's wild.
Yeah, my sister actually met her now husband on a dating site, so it works. But dating after divorce, long-term relationships, it can be so hard. And like I mentioned previously, you have kids and mortgages and you're planning your retirement and you may have grandkids or parents you're taking care of. We talk about caregivers on the show. There's a lot of things going on and it can be very intimidating. And sometimes I feel like online dating seems like an easy way to be like, I'll see what's out there. But that's a whole world too. So there's apps and there's websites and apps, and I wanted to kind of go through a few of them and give you my reviews of all the dating apps.
This is good because there's so many of them out there and, you know, sometimes they're tailored towards, you know, different demographics. So I like this. I like this curated app review.
Yes, you're exactly right. There are apps. I've done some research. There's your typical apps, but there's also apps for singles over 50. There's apps that are specific to religious beliefs or LGBTQ plus specific communities. But before I dive into this, I just want to say my number one priority, stay safe. Be careful. Stay safe. If you're going out with somebody you've never met, do it in a very public place. I like to turn my location on my phone when I was online dating. My sister always knew the name of the person I was with and could see my location when I went somewhere. And I called her as soon as I left. She always gave me an option. Shout out Kate. She always called me about an hour into the date to give me an out if I wanted an out, and said something awkward. Sorry for the men who I've left very quickly because my mom was sick or something like that. But... always communicate with people before you do this and stay safe. But here are my resources. For adults over 50, there's a couple sites. There's one called Our Time and Silver Singles. I've never heard of these before. I'm not over 50. I've learned that they're both online and they have an app for your phone. They're both free and they have premium packages. Sometimes the premium packages went throughout these reviews that I'm giving today. Offer things like being able to see who liked you before you go through and like a bunch of people, or to have more messages, or to keep your profile private while you swipe around and not have everyone see you until you like them first. There's a lot of different options when you look at premium packages. So both Our Time and Silver Singles are for adults over 50, online and app form, which is great in case you don't really love being on your phone all that much. And on that note, I think that you can really waste a lot of time on apps too. Like when I was doing it, you could really get bogged down and swipe all night if you really wanted to. But I think that it's best if you limit it, because it can get overwhelming and it can be a lot. I would say spend 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night and cut it off. Otherwise, don't get bogged down. But general audience, the one that I had the most success with when I was online dating was Bumble and Hinge. They're the two most popular right now, and they're for all ages. Bumble actually has options for friendship matchmaking and for business networking, which I think is pretty cool. Kind of in tune with what we were talking about earlier too.
That is very interesting, and I'm sure that they may need to publicize that a little bit more. It'd be funny to like catch your spouse on Bumble. Like, no, I was just trying to make a business connection. I swear. Let's see how that could cause some trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned safety, and yes. I think it's really important to point out so many of these scammers that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And just to always have your guard up, especially if folks try and build these connections online but never actually meet, and then it's just it turns into a scam of just constantly asking for money.
Yes.
And people feel kind of either obligated, or maybe they want to do it because they feel like they really care about this person, but really their intent is just to use you as an ATM.
Yes, that's a really good point. There is a bit of that out there, and you'll see sites that are out there that are clearly fake, or people out there that are clearly fake and have fake photos, and it's something to be very wary of. And I don't want to turn anyone away completely from online dating. Just be very careful.
Just be smart about it. What else? What other?
Coffee Meets Bagel. This is my favorite name. This is my favorite name for a dating site. Coffee Meets Bagel. This is an interesting one because you can only have 5 likes a day, and you only have 7 days to meet up after matching, which is interesting to me because this eliminates ghosting. Do you know what ghosting is?
I am aware of ghosting, but maybe let's explain that for those listening.
Let's talk about ghosting. Lessons in dating. Ghosting is when you stop communication with someone abruptly without any explanation and you disappear.
You've turned into a ghost.
You've turned into a ghost. Let's be honest. If someone is ghosting you, you don't want them in your life anyway. We should start a show about Mary's online dating lessons. We don't have time for inconsiderate people, y'all. So ghosting shows emotional immaturity, and let the trash take itself out. Be done with them. You don't need to worry about ghosting. Don't let it bring you down. That is emotionally immature. If someone ghosts you, move on. Don't let it bog you down. The trash took itself out.
They're doing you a favor at that point.
They sure are. Okay, back on track. Two classics I want to mention. eHarmony, classic. It's online. It's not an app. You have to pay. It's a very long sign-up process. There's a huge quiz up front, and I think that maybe that will help people match better like-minded people maybe. They do have some sort of guarantee, like find someone you love and X amount of months or get your money back. Match.com is also a classic and has a similar promise, but they have an app form, but they are a paid service as well. So eHarmony and Match are kind of like the oldest ones out there and kind of focus more on the computer at first than via phone. Tinder is definitely for a younger audience, but also one that I think everyone most hears about. I'm sure everyone has heard about it at this point. It's one that swipe left, swipe right.
Yes.
It's free. but they do have some payment model. It is very much for the younger audience. And I want to mention there's some religion-based services, too. There's JDate for Jewish singles. They have a website and an app. It's a paid service. Christian Mingle is for God-centered relationships. They send you potential matches, but you also have to pay to chat there, and there's some sort of pay feature. Some of them have some free options, but they're kind of minimal. And then there's some LGBTQ plus communities. Her is for women and non-binary singles, and Grindr for gay men. And that's a swipe-based app. So there's tons of options out there if you want to start looking before Valentine's Day. But be safe, and you know, and make sure that you are letting people know where you are so that someone has got an eye on you. Yeah, be safe.
You know, I feel so old because I'm kind of thankful that I missed out on the online dating scene. But I feel like if for whatever reason I had to be thrust back in to that environment, I would be terrified. Do you have any advice for those who, you know, either maybe technologically adverse or it's just this is just completely foreign to them? What's a good first step to dip our toe in the water?
Well, one of my favorite things to do when I was online dating, I'm not online dating anymore, but my favorite thing to do was to give my sister my phone, and she made my profile.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, she made my profile, or let your friend take your phone and pick out some good photos for you. I helped another friend recently, a guy friend of mine, pick out photos for his profile. And I told him some of the things he said were really dumb, and helped him change a little bit of that around. I'm not going to share his name on the air. But I think if you let your friend, if you feel goofy doing it, let your friend take a look at it before you post it out there and see, get some advice. Maybe they have, you know, my sister said some things about me that I would have never said about myself that were, I thought were really, really good. But you know, if you're a little bit nervous about it, I'll engage a friend and ask them what they think.
That is a really good idea, because I could definitely see myself putting up a profile that would be not attractive. So having some outside advice or a third party there, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, now we know what to do when it comes to online dating. We've made a good segment of our audience very dangerous right now. So.
I know. This makes me a little bit nervous. Like I said, let the trash take itself out. Don't let anyone ghost you.
Exactly. Don't let them get the upper hand. Like that. Well, that is our show for today. Man, we've covered a lot of ground. This was a lot of fun. I want to remind everyone, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to head on over to transitionslifecare.org. So many resources are available there for those who are in a caregiving situation. Don't forget WPTF.com if you want to catch up on episodes. Maybe you want to go back and listen to a portion of this episode or one from the past. WPTF.com, click on Shows, Aging Matters, and there you will find the podcast section for Aging Matters. On behalf of Mary Lucas, I'm Jason Kong. Thank you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.